is Express FM.
Supported by the University of Portsmouth. We are passionately pumping.
We begin to look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is a huge football club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey continued to struggle, conceding four goals for a second consecutive league match.
It's 4-0. Wes Burns has swept home and Pompey fans start to head towards the exit. It's Portsmouth 0, Ipswich Town 4.
It's a disaster. It really is, I'm afraid.
And I'd love to say we've seen X, Y, Z to be inspired. The reality is we just haven't seen evidence that Portsmouth are going to get back into this game.
Danny Carley acknowledges the pressure he is now under to deliver results and fully shoulders the blame for Tuesday's honking defeat at Fratton Park.
Unacceptable for 40-odd minutes. It was a competitive game, nothing in it, and we make a mistake and we fold. We did it Saturday and we've done it again tonight in front of our home fans, and ultimately I'm responsible, so I take full responsibility for the performance, and we were well short and I can only apologise for that.
Tonight we'll hear the gaffer's post-match interview from midweek as well as his pre-match thoughts going into tomorrow's game at Accrington.
We've been good in the game until we've conceded, so it's our response to disappointment which is the thing and the area that we need to work on and how we deal with disappointment.
Stick around for a full inquest into the Blues' recent form with the thoughts of both Dean Adams and Sam Macy all to come here between now and seven. Good evening and welcome to Express FM. This is the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Thank you ever so much for joining us here on this bitterly cold Friday night for the latest instalment of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, your home of local radio in Portsmouth. I'm sure you are already aware, but we've got quite the show lined up tonight. Pompey fell to yet another league defeat last time out, and that is now 10 goals conceded in the last three matches in all competitions. This evening, we'd absolutely love to hear what you've got to say from back home. Don't hold back, but please do keep it suitable to be read out on air. It's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or go and find us over at facebook.com/Pompey Live. Unfortunately, as is the norm here on the Football Hour, we do have to begin tonight's show with a revisit of Pompey's last fixture. The Blues went into Tuesday night's game under the floodlights of Fratton Park off the back of a 4-1 defeat away to Rotherham United. Danny Carley and the City of Portsmouth expected a reaction, but a reaction they did not get.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It's just another game is the line that managers and to some degree players always like to parrot before matches, which you have to feel are not quite simply more than just another game. Paul Cook's got promotion with Portsmouth here from League Two. How he's viewed by fans is now rather mixed after the way he departed and perhaps the lack of success since he left. There's just that extra edge playing under the lights with the pitch looking that beautiful shade of light green, ready to get things underway. Let it go to Raggett, who in turn goes back to Bazunu, and there's a bit of frustration in the crowd and Bazunu's in trouble. He's in real trouble and Bond's won the ball. Can he put it in the net? Great chance, goal for Ipswich. Another error from Gavin Bazunu. Has it stolen from him by Macaulay Bond? It looked like the ball might roll out of play, but Bond kept it in, showed composure and fired into the empty net. It's Portsmouth 0, Ipswich 1. Ipswich pick up cheap possession in midfield. Evans spreads it out to the right-hand side. Donovan, right corner of the penalty area. Into the box, Chaplin, chance, goal! You just knew it was going to come from Connor Chaplin. It's a really, really smart finish into the bottom corner. There's nothing Bazunu can do about that one. And there is a long, long, long way back for Portsmouth in this game now. 8 minutes into the second half, Portsmouth 0, Ipswich 2. And I'd love to say we've seen X, Y, Z to be inspired. The reality is we just haven't seen evidence that Portsmouth are going to get back into this game. Morel plays it short and Pompey have it through Romeo to harness as Pompey try and build again, but they've given it away, and Chaplin has it outside the penalty area, lays it off Aluko. Great chance for three. Aluko, it's gone under Bazzuno and into the back of the net. It's another error from the Portsmouth goalkeeper, and surely it's a bridge too far for Portsmouth to get anything from this game. Boos ring around Fratton Park. It's Portsmouth 0, Ipswich Town 3. Chaplin is going to drive towards the penalty area again. He's got a man on the overlap. Donovan, danger here. Donovan pulls it back. Through it. It's 4-0. Wes Burns has swept home for his second of the season, and Pompey fans start to head towards the exit. There's still 15 minutes remaining. It's Portsmouth 0, Ipswich Town 4.
It's a disaster. It really is, I'm afraid.
Hurst might be able to break into the penalty area. Chance for Pompey, Hurst! And it's tipped round the post by Walter. The final whistle goes at Fratton Park. The boos are loud and they ring around Fratton Park. And what has been a totally forgettable evening for Portsmouth. They've been beaten by 4-0 for the second consecutive game. Pompey have fallen apart in the second half.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Those there, the highlights from Tuesday night as Pompey fell to a 4-0 defeat on home turf to Paul Cook's Ipswich Town. Let's take a look at some of the other results from Skybet League One in midweek. Then Cambridge United, they held Sheffield Wednesday to a 1-1 draw at the Abbey. Charlton Athletic continued their poor start to the season with a 3-2 home defeat to Accrington Stanley. And that result also ensured that Nigel Adkins was the first League One manager to be relieved of his duties this season. Cheltenham beat Morecambe by 3-1. Crewe fell to a 4-0 defeat at home to Sunderland. Burton beat Fleetwood Town by 1-0 away from home. Gillingham won Doncaster 0. Lincoln, another home defeat for them, 1-0. AFC Wimbledon the victors at Sinsel Bank. Oxford United, 2-0 winners over Shrewsbury Town. Plymouth Argyle continued their amazing start to the season, 3-0 win over Bolton. Rotherham United with the only 0-0 of the midweek action with Wickham Wanderers. And then Wigan Athletic, shock defeat for them on the cards. They fell to a 2-1 loss at home to the MK Dons. And looking at the League One table after all of that action, Plymouth Argyle top of the tree with 29 points after 14 matches played. Sunderland very close behind on 28 points. They've only played 12 games though. Wickham, Wigan, Rotherham and MK Dons make up the top six and your playoff teams. Pompey slump down to 17th position with 15 points, just 4 points above the drop zone. And in the relegation zone, Shrewsbury Town, Charlton Athletic, Crewe Alexandra and Doncaster Rovers. So those are your results. That is your table from Tuesday night and it all reads pretty grim. And with me this evening to digest all of that, first of all, I'm very delighted to say returning is Dean Adams. Dean, thank you for coming in.
Evening, Jake.
And alongside Dean this evening, joining over the powers of the internet, we have Sam Macy. Sam, likewise, mate, great to have you on the show.
Yeah, evening, Jake. Thanks for having me, as always.
So let's get started. Dean, Tuesday night, it was billed as the reaction to a 4-1 defeat away to Rotherham United. We didn't think it could get much worse. And then it did.
Where do we even start with this one? Because Saturday was bad enough. You look at Sunderland, we played really well against Sunderland and the conditions sort of suited us as well. And that result was great. And then we went on to the Rotherham game. The Rotherham game was absolutely hideous. You put that to one side and you focus on the next game. And Ipswich is a great game to put it right. They've got a knack of taking the lead and conceding goals. I thought there'd be a good sort of score draw sort of game. We didn't even turn up. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. No fight, no spirit, no effort, no work. Just, it was terrible.
Completely flat, wasn't it, Sam? That's something we've, unfortunately, been saying over and over again here on the Football Hour on Pompey Live. After most matches this season, one win in the last nine for Pompey in the league. The rut continues, the slump down the table continues, and you can't really say that the performances have not warranted for these results, because like Dean said there, no fight, no passion, no real sense that the Blues are actually going to come back and get a result. It's just been poor all over the pitch.
No, I agree completely. I think Pompey fans in general just expect as bare minimum to give 100% for the shirt, and I don't think we've seen that in the last two games specifically. I don't think it's been the best start of the season. It's been relatively lacklustre, but the complete lack of effort and fight was just abysmal. I think the only player who comes out with an ounce of credibility is probably Joe Morrell from the last two games, possibly Marcus Harness against Rotherham, but it was awful. I think listening to your comments before, I listened before the game to Express, and I didn't think it could get much worse. But how wrong were we? It was absolutely shambolic. It's lost for words.
I've seen a lot of support on social media since that defeat on Tuesday night, Dean, of Joe Morrell. And I don't think you can really argue against any of that, because as much as we can question the commitment and the leadership in this team and the performances of late, Joe Morrell just seems to be that player in the last two or three matches where, okay, don't get me wrong, not set the world alight, but he's given that effort that we expect, like Sam said there.
Yeah, I've seen him this season, and he looks a decent player. On Tuesday night, he was the one player that I believe came out with any credit at all. He looks a tidy player. You put Joe Morrell into that Ipswich side, and Ipswich would look a really good side. So I don't know. We're in a mess all over the pitch at the moment, and I put that purely down to, I read today that we've got a better budget than what we had under Kenny Jackett. Is it a question of we've not spent that budget right? Is the budget not big enough to allow us to have the squad we need? Injuries have impacted us. We said earlier, there's five or six players that we need to get rid of in January, and that includes a couple of loans as well. This squad needs completely ripping up, and we've just brought in 15 players.
Is that harsh, Sam, or is Dean spot on there? Because, you know, we mentioned about the big summer overhaul that happened at Fratton Park in the summer. 14 out, 14 in. But you can't help but really feel that this team is not quite ready yet. We don't quite have the quality in the side to, well, I say keep up performances on a consistent basis. To get a performance would be a start.
No, I'd agree completely. I think everyone was so excited a couple of months ago when we did get this overhaul of players. On paper, there were some really good-looking signings. However, there's just been too many lacklustre players, and we couldn't get players off the wage book. You think Ellis Harrison and Paul Downing are two of our highest earners, and the contribution they've made collectively over the last two seasons has been little to none. I don't understand how George Hurst has managed to get a move. With all due respect to him, he's probably an all right player, but I think he's just not going to click, and I think how on earth he's managed to get a move to Portsmouth in the summer is completely beyond me. I think the first touch and aerial ability is what I thought was going to be a positive for him, coming from a Premier League academy, but he can't do anything. He had an okay shot, and that's the first we've seen of him in 14 odd games, whatever it's been so far this season. I just don't understand some of the recruitment. I think Morrell, Tunnicliffe, Clark Robertson, when he played, were good acquisitions, but I think looking beyond them, well, Bazuna, of course, as well, you're failing to see who in the new signings is actually made an impact.
I hate to dig out individual players, Dean, but at the end of the day, it is kind of our task to do that on the show and pick apart performances. And kind of feeding off what Sam was saying there about George Hurst, not quite paid off for him at Pompey so far this season. Looking at his record since turning professional in 2016 with Sheffield Wednesday, one appearance for the Owls, no goals. He then went to Belgium, 22 appearances, 3 goals in the second division. Leicester City, 2 appearances, no goals. Rotherham United last season on loan, 31 games.
Yeah.
No goals. Pompey so far, 7 games, no goals.
I said earlier, when I left the Portsmouth recruitment team 2-3 years ago, I scouted George Hurst for another League One manager in a League One club. I saw George Hurst play 3 times for Leicester under 23s. He never looked like... He's a tidy player. He held it up well. He's a bit like Marquis in that way, where he does a lot of running. But in those 3 games I watched, he never looked like scoring once. And I didn't recommend him to that League One club. I actually recommended him to a National League manager. So that sort of says what I think about that at the moment.
Mark on the text has got involved tonight. It says, I hate to say it, but the lack of commitment and heart comes down to the manager. If they cannot motivate the team, then change will have to be made. The thoughts of Mark on the text there. Let's hear now from the manager. He spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline following the final whistle on Tuesday night.
Danny, your thoughts on tonight's game?
Unacceptable. We, for 40-odd minutes, it was a competitive game, nothing in it. We make a mistake and we fold. We did it Saturday and we've done it again tonight in front of our home fans, and ultimately I'm responsible, so I take full responsibility for the performance, and we were well short, and I can only apologise for that.
What does the dressing room look like after a defeat like that?
People are disappointed, obviously. We've let ourselves down. Worse still, we've let our supporters down. And the people of Portsmouth that love this club and think an awful lot of it, and we've come up well short tonight.
You mentioned a mistake for the first goal. Gavin Bazunu, he's obviously a young goalkeeper. He's made two mistakes now. Is it important that you protect him from that and accept that that's just part of his game at this stage of his development?
Yeah, he's a young goalkeeper. He's going to be a top goalkeeper. He's got an elite mindset. He's strong, he's resilient, he'll come through.
And for you, you've obviously had a lot of experience in management. How have you been able to come through these sticky patches in the past?
Well, this is the most sticky patch and the longest sticky patch that I've had. We haven't done well enough, technically, tactically, physically, mentally. As a group, we haven't done well enough. We've come up really short and we have to feel the pain of that. Not on any level. As soon as anything goes against us, we just go under, and we have to go away, and we have to look at ourselves, and we have to decide who we want to be and what we stand for and what we want to do with our lives. Because if you give up when things get tough, then you won't achieve what you're capable of achieving. And tonight, yeah, there's no words to make the Portsmouth supporters feel any better about that. I can only stand here, front it up, and apologise.
Danny Cowley there, following the full-time whistle on Tuesday night. Dean, very apologetic towards the end of that interview. Quite a short interview as well. And hearing reports after the game, and I say hearing reports, we were at the game. We saw what happened after the match. 50 minutes, the team were in that dressing room after the full-time whistle. Danny Cowley wasn't to let them off lightly. And he sounded distraught in that interview.
Yeah, was Danny Cowley in there with the players at the time? I don't know. Did he tell the players to get on and have a chat with them amongst themselves, or was he a part of that? I don't know what the full story of that is, but you listen to managers. Personally, I like Danny Cowley. I think he's a great bloke. I think he's got the right ideas. A friend of mine phoned me up after the final whistle on Tuesday night, and I think he's in the camp of wanting Cowley out. He believes he's too coaching manual and isn't the right type of manager for this club. I'm on the other side of the fence. I think we need to give Danny Cowley time, and that's where I am with that. You listen to managers. When managers lose, they come out with the same speeches. When they win, they have similar speeches, and it was the same with Kenny Jackett. They lose, same speech, win, same speech. And you sort of get used to that, but I'm in the Danny Cowley camp. I'd like Danny Cowley to stay long term.
There's no doubt, Sam, Danny Cowley, Nicky Cowley, under pressure at the moment, given recent performances, recent results, were slumped down to 17th from the table. That's a given. But in terms of, you know, the calls for Cowley out on the 22nd of October of the new season, albeit, granted, Charlton getting rid of Nigel Adkins at this stage of the campaign, they're in the relegation zone. Don't get me wrong, they're under pressure. But in terms of rebuilding this squad, rebuilding this team, rebuilding the football club on and off the pitch, are you behind Danny and Nicky Cowley, or are you of the opinion that maybe it is time to call it quits and move on elsewhere?
I'm always gonna back the manager. I think I'm relatively positive when it comes to Pompey. Not that I should be based off past experience, but I think Danny Cowley, if you look at Kenny Jackett's tenure, he had 4 years sort of treading water for probably the last two seasons of that. And I think it's only fair that the next manager in charge gets that. I don't think he'll get 4 years if things carry on the way they are. But I think it's ludicrous this early on into a season to call for the manager's head. I think we were 12th going into the Ipswich game, and I think it's so tight and congested. Two or three wins can put you back in and amongst it. I think people saying that we're going to get relegated and that we're in a relegation fight, I think is ludicrous at this stage of the season.
Yeah.
Danny Cowley, I think listening back to that interview, I think it's one too many times that he's had to shirk the blame for the players. And I think that's that's an issue, because he always comes out and says that it's his fault, not the players. And I think he's just done it one too many times this season. And I think that's probably what that 50-minute inquest into the performance was. Mm.
Sam, thank you. Dean, thank you. Thank you both. We'll come back to you in just a few moments' time. We're going to move the conversation ahead a little bit to tomorrow's trip to Accrington Stanley. We'll continue our inquest and the fallout to Tuesday's 4-0 defeat at home to Ipswich Town. We want you back home to keep getting in touch as well at ExpressFM on Twitter, facebook.com/pod. Pompey Live. You can text your message to 81400, starting those with the word Express, or you can send an email into pompey@expressfm.com. The three of us will be back in just a few moments' time. Do not go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, where I'm tonight joined by Dean Adams and Sam Macy to review all of the events from Tuesday's midweek defeat at home to Ipswich Town, 4-0 at Fratton Park. And we've got some emails and texts to get through. But first of all, I want to ask Dean a question. And this is something we were chatting about in that ad break just off there just a few moments ago. And actually, Dean asked me this question. So I'm actually going to play the Uno card and throw it back to him. If you were to line up this current team, Danny Cowley's team, against Kenny Jackett's last lineup in charge of Portsmouth Football Club, who'd come out on top and win?
If I had to walk into the bookmakers and put a bet on that game, I would back Kenny Jackett's team. I wouldn't even have to think about it.
Right. Does that tell you that the recruitment this season has been below par? Because it's come out in the last week or so, in the last couple of days since that defeat at home to Ipswich.
You're looking at the recruitment. I like Williams, I like Tunnicliffe. These players have gone off the boil, but I do like Williams, I do like Tunnicliffe, Morrell, Robertson, unlucky got injured. The recruitment has been pretty decent. But then you look on the other side of it and you look at Ahadmi, who after his pre-season you had to sign, you couldn't not sign him. But Ahadmi and Hurst, if we've got the option to let them go in January and bring other options in, then that's got to be a part of the clean out. Downing, Harrison, we've got to pay certain players off in January. Jacobs, six players in my view have to be gone in January to release funds to bring more players in. But yeah, the Jackett old team, who were top, who had a bad start last season, but were top at Christmas on Boxing Day, I believe that team would beat the current team we have at the moment.
Last season was such a topsy-turvy campaign, wasn't it? Looking at the position that Pompey were in at this stage last season. So it's currently the 22nd of October. So at this stage last season, Pompey were 8th. We had dropped down to 21st at the end of September. But like I said, we were top at Christmas, fell down to 10th come the 16th of March and ended up finishing in 8th after a few stints in and out of the playoff positions towards the end of the campaign.
Yeah, and we weren't letting goals in, and we were scoring goals. The likes of Tom Naylor were hitting 25-yarders, weren't they, at times? And the key things for me, Watmore going and Tom Naylor going, they were the two big misses for me. Because if we put Tom Naylor and Jack Watmore in our team at the moment, we'd be half... Well, it would be a lot better than what we are at the moment.
It's clear, Sam, that investment is needed in January if we are to revive this season as a promotion-chasing season. We mentioned it's not going to be a relegation battle. We hope not anyway. I can't envisage that happening between now and the end of the campaign. There's still so many games to play between now and then. I'm confident, personally, that's not going to happen. But in terms of recruiting to get more players in to fight at the top end of the table, how many... in your opinion, do you think need to be departing? How many need to come in?
I think it's a difficult question, because I think the contracts which some of our players are on, the sort of, as I mentioned earlier on, the Paul Downings, the Ellis Harrisons, they're on big money, like pre-COVID salaries. And I think both their contracts are possibly up at the end of the season. So you're sort of lumbered with them to the end of the year. If you can get someone to take them on loan or take them off our plate on a permanent basis, then that's a different proposition entirely. But I think you're not going to get too many players leaving unless there are clauses to go back to their parent clubs. I'd like to see. I think the defence is the main issue. I think you need probably two centre halves. Clark Robertson's obviously, when he's fit, he's our best centre half in my opinion. I think, yeah, just the defence is needing a restructure and possibly an attacking player or two, which obviously is easier said than done. Mm.
Leadership has come into question a lot in the last couple of days as well, Dean. Pompey lacking that authoritative figure on the field. I know you mentioned the injury to Clark Robertson. That has been a huge blow to Danny Cowley and his side. The named captain at the start of the campaign, unlikely to be out with his injury until Christmas time. But in terms of, I'm not just talking about the man who's wearing the captain's armband at the moment, which is Lee Brown. I'm not talking about just that. But you expect other senior members of the team to also step up to play, whether they're wearing the armband or not, to try and drive his team forward on the pitch. Because, yes, OK, Danny Cowley can take some of the blame for what he does in the training pitch and in the dressing room. But once you're on that 90-minute field of play, you need your senior players on the pitch to pick other people up, prevent the heads from going down when you concede a goal, and push on.
Something's not right here, because, and this is where the one thing I think Danny Cowley's got wrong, because in pre-season, he said he's got a few experienced players that don't need to wear the armband. He gave the armband to Clark Robertson, who he said wasn't a leader, but he had potential to be one. He gave the armband to him. I think that was wrong. I think you look at your most experienced player in the middle of the pitch, Sean Williams, been at Millwall, been there a long time, experience, he's a leader. Give it to someone like him, a bit of a Michael Doyle, that can really get to grips and get certain players in certain areas and shake them up, because that's what needs to happen.
A few more comments coming in as well. Linda Mayo, who says, hi, two words to sum up Pompey's performance on Tuesday: clueless and spineless. If we have to rely on this first team to save us from relegation, we are in trouble. And to make matters worse, we have nothing in the reserves. So let's stop thinking about playoffs or promotion and concentrate on stopping us getting relegated, because conceding 8 in 2 matches, no fighting spirit, will only lead to one conclusion. They have to prove to the supporters they are not going to just roll over when they go a goal down. We can talk about tactics and formation, but unless the players show some character, we are dead in the water. The opinion of Linda Mayo on the emails. And like you referenced earlier in the show, Sam, it's not necessarily about the tactics and the formation when it comes to Pompey. We, I think, as a majority of the fan base, could probably accept this as a transition season. We say it every single show. But you want that fight. You want that commitment on the pitch. And when you've got 1,500 or near 1,500 travelling to Rotherham last weekend, you've got over 900 tickets sold for Accrington Stanley away tomorrow afternoon, you expect some sort of commitment to the cause, don't you? That's the least you can expect.
Yeah, agreed. I think 100% effort is all you want. I think it doesn't matter about talent in for most teams. I think if you are outworking the opposition, then you're definitely going to be somewhere in the right direction. I think if you look at some of the teams who are near the top end of the table, I think you've got Cheltenham, you've got Burton. They've got a lot smaller budgets than obviously teams like Charlton, like us, like Ipswich. And I think their work ethic and their ethos to work for the cause and work as a team is why they're doing so well. You can't win anything with individuals. If you look at Ipswich for the first few games of this season, they played as a team of individuals and couldn't keep a lead. And I think that's what we've got to do less of. I think we need some team spirit, some team ethos. And if you outwork your opposition, that's the minimum you can do. Win your individual battles and fight for the shirt. And I think the difficult thing for Danny Cowley is where the players aren't doing that, he hasn't got the squad depth to put people who will fight for the shirt in.
And after the last two performances, after the month or two that Pompey have endured, Dean, the last thing we want right now is a trip to Accrington. But a trip to Accrington, Pompey have got this weekend, and I would say it's a chance to react to Tuesday, but Tuesday was also a chance to react to Saturday, and Saturday was also a chance to react to Sutton, which was also... It's a knock-on effect. We've been looking for a reaction for such a long time. A win tomorrow is obviously the minimum.
Do you know what? If you could pick any game tomorrow, I think Accrington away, with the way they play at home, our record against them, the form we're in, it's probably the one fixture
you're not selling.
I wouldn't choose. No. Do you know what? Fair play to the 900 odd fans that are going up to Accrington tomorrow, because they really support the badge, and that's the kind of effort and that's the kind of spirit the players need to have. Those 900 fans that are going all the way up there to watch that side, that's incredible.
Yeah, a long, long way to go. 5-hour journey for the Pompey fans there. 5-hour journey back. It's going to be a late, late one for the Blues fans that are travelling up. But we expect we can hope some sort of effort is shown on the pitch to reward them for their hardy efforts going up to the WAN Stadium tomorrow afternoon. We'll come on to preview that game in a bit more detail in just a few moments' time. Graham Wilkins on the email says, "Hi, gents. We should have given Burgess a longer deal a couple of years ago. He's gone to a club but is flying in the Belgium First Division. Why is it always our player of the season that leaves after the season ends? If that is the case, then we should give it to the worst player at the club. So tomorrow's game, if the result isn't good and we are heavily beaten again, then who knows what our owners will do. Please play Miguel Aziz and Louis Thompson and not keep the same team yet again." Graham Wilkins on the emails. Thank you for getting in touch. In terms of tomorrow's game, Sam, and the way that Pompey would line up, formation, it has been something that has been heavily mentioned in the past probably fortnight or so. This team that Danny Carley wants to play, the way that Danny Carley wants to play, we can all see the vision, the high press, the attacking intensity. Is that possible with the quality of players at his disposal at the moment?
I think going to this three centre halves, almost like outside, like inside fullbacks, if you will, I think it's just a bit bizarre to me that this is the system they've chosen to play when they've three recognised centre halves at the club going into the season. I personally don't have an issue with persisting with it. I think Rome wasn't built in a day, and if we are going to persist with it, it probably will have a long-term effect, and I trust in the Cowleys that it will eventually pay off. However, I think you can't get battered by, you can't concede four goals in back-to-back games. I think something has to change, whether that be personnel or what, but it's very difficult. I think the easy solution and the simple solution would to say play four at the back, but then at the same time, if this is something they want to persist with and something they want us to do long term, then I completely understand their thinking of persisting with it. But it's just difficult because I do trust the Cowleys, but then at the same time, I don't like seeing Pompey concede four goals every Saturday.
It's not nice, and hopefully we can avoid such a feat tomorrow afternoon. Accrington Stanley, the opponents this weekend for the Blues in match day number 14 of this League One season. Here's Connor Mosley with a closer look at Stanley.
After back-to-back defeats and eight goals conceded in the last two matches, what better time for Pompey to travel to a ground where they haven't won in any of the last four visits? Accrington Stanley away this weekend at the WAM Stadium.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
You'd have to go back to March 2016 to find the Blues' last victory at this venue. Kyle Bennett and Michael Doyle on the score sheet to give Pompey a 3-1 victory during Paul Cook's first season in charge. Since then, Pompey have travelled to Accrington on four occasions, losing two and drawing two, with the most recent a 3-3 draw behind closed doors towards the tail end of last term. Let's find out a little bit more about the side currently sat 10th in League One.
Manager.
Stanley are currently, and have been since 2014, fronted by John Coleman. The 59-year-old is somewhat of a legend around those parts, having held that position at the WAM Stadium for almost 8 years now, and this is his second stint in charge. Coleman previously led the club between 1999 and 2012, achieving promotions three times, which resulted in the club experiencing Football League for the very first time. His 12.5-year spell ended when Rochdale came calling, and Coleman decided a new challenge was in order. However, his time at Spotland lasted just over a season before spending a year with Southport, eventually winding back up with Accrington in 2014. At the time of his first departure, Coleman was the third longest serving manager in England, behind only Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger. Overall, he's managed Accrington Stanley for 960 matches and has racked up 1,143 games throughout his 24-year managerial career. Incredible.
One to watch.
Portsmouth-born midfielder Tommy Lee is one to keep a close eye on this weekend if he is to feature. The 21-year-old has been a regular feature for Accrington this season, though appears mainly on the bench. Lee once ran out semi-professionally for Baffin's Milton Rovers, where his brother Ashton also played before spending 2 years with Bognor Regis Town. Accrington Stanley poached him for an undisclosed fee back in July, making his Football League debut on August the 14th, Tommy Lee came through the Blues Academy, but was released at the age of 16.
Top scorer.
30-year-old Harry Pell is currently leading the scoring charts at Accrington, with four league strikes to his name so far. Stanley announced the signing of Pell, once a Pompey target during the League 2 days, on May the 14th of this year, on the same day his release from Colchester United was announced. The Essex-born midfielder, who started his career at Charlton Athletic, having come through the youth ranks at the Valley, doubled his scoring tally for the season from 2 to 4 in midweek, with a brace against his old club.
Current form.
It's been an up and down season so far for Accrington, who are 10th on 19 points after 13 matches played. Their last five results have included 2 wins, 2 losses and a draw, with victories over Ipswich and Charlton, but defeats to Cheltenham and Oxford. Pompey haven't beaten Accrington in almost 5 years, since a 2-0 home win in February 2017. 5 games have been played since then, with 3 stalemates and 2 Stanley victories. Can Danny Cowley get this team playing again, or will the Blues slump dangerously closer to those relegation places? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A big thank you, as ever, to Connor Mosley for providing a little bit more of an insight into this week's challenge, Accrington Stanley. You can catch Connor right here on Express FM after tonight's show. He's back from 7 o'clock with Express Floor Fillers up until 11 p.m. this evening. OK, we are just approaching 20 to 7 now here on the Football Hour, which means you have just under 20 minutes to get your final text tweets and emails into the show this evening. All the usual ways, Pompey fans, to avoid missing out. It's at Express FM on Twitter. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com. Include text your message to 81400, starting with the word Express. You can tweet in twice if you want, or you can visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. After the break, we're going to hear once more from Danny Cowley, who looks ahead to tomorrow's trip to Accrington, acknowledging the issues that need to be cracked down upon if Pompey are going to start picking up points again.
We've let the supporters down, we know that. We all have to live with that pain. We've done it too many times this season. They're just facts. Ultimately, for me, it's always my responsibility as the manager to get the players to play at their best, and I haven't done that. And rightly, we're criticised, and we have to find the inner strength to find the solutions to the problems that we have.
The three of us will be back before you know it. Don't go anywhere and join us for the conclusion of tonight's show. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time this evening to the Football Hour here on Express FM, where I'm tonight joined by Dean Adams and Sam Macy to preview tomorrow's trip to Accrington Stanley. Let's get a couple more of those text tweets and emails in before we hear the pre-match thoughts of the head coach. Dave Byrne on the email says, it is totally knee-jerk to be asking for Danny Cowley to be sacked, regardless of what the Charltons of this world are doing. The project of Pompey is much bigger, and it has been clear since the turn of the year that a quick fix simply was not an option. The problem is everybody wants success today. And the only way you get that is by buying it. And even that is not instant, as Newcastle are about to find out. The current regime, Dave continues, are playing catch-up in terms of both the infrastructure and playing staff, with both having been sadly neglected and poorly managed in recent years. Danny Cowley stated that this will take 2 or 3 transfer windows, and he deserves at least that to try and make a positive impact. Dave in Liss with probably the most sensible email I have ever seen in my life, Dean.
Yeah, very true. He's got some good points there. I'm just listening to that, and I'm just what we were talking about in the break as well about Danny and Nicky being at the club. People saying they're out of their depth, this, that, and the other. When Paul Cook walked into the ground on Tuesday night, he had Peter Reid, the ex-Everton player and Sunderland manager, with him. Very experienced. Peter's there alongside Paul Cook. Ipswich had a wobble of a start. Peter Reid's come in. Does Danny and Nicky need someone with a bit more experience alongside them? Don't know.
Possibly.
Do they?
Possibly. Yep, possibly. Some more coming in as well. Gav Jones on Twitter says, we've been given Bazunu nothing but praise since he's been in the side, and rightly so. 2 mistakes and suddenly people are calling for him to be dropped. Now, you may say that is to take him out of the firing line, but surely being dropped will shatter his confidence. Gav Jones on the tweets there. Sam, your thoughts on that one?
I think it's difficult. I think, like Danny Cowley's always said, it will protect young players, and he just wants to help them develop. Would it be a bad idea to give him a break at some stage, but not just yet? I think we've just been drawn against, was it Harrow Borough in the FA Cup? Yeah. There's his week off. He has played a lot of football, but I think we've known from the start with a ball-playing goalkeeper like him, he's going to make mistakes, and he's probably going to win us more points than he loses us. It just so happens that he's made two howlers in two games, but that doesn't negate the rest of the season.
No. And I think, like, Gav Jones has rightfully hit the nail on the head within that tweet, Dean. To drop Gavin Bazunu would shatter his confidence. He's a 19-year-old goalkeeper. Yeah. He is still learning. If you refer back to the previous 12 matches of this season, the amount of games that Gavin Bazunu has kept Pompey in, the amount of goals that he has saved to prevent games from being not only 4-0, yeah, 5-6 or 7-0.
I know he's made, I think Sam just said two howlers. I think it's actually, yeah, three howlers in the last two games, isn't it? Because he was at fault for two on Tuesday night, personally, in my view. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good for his confidence. I think he's probably been our best player this season. Even if you include the last couple of games, he's still been our best player this season. I don't think you make the changes. I think, as Sam said, his week off is the Harrow Borough game in the FA Cup, and
not to mention a few days after that is the Crystal Palace under-21s
match.
So
there's Alex's chance to play a couple of games.
But if you are Alex Bass, Sam, if you're looking at Gavin Bazunu in the last two or three matches, as much as, you know, we can sit here and say that it's harsh to be dropped just because of two, I say, poor performances. He still made some great saves during those two matches, but also the mistakes as well. If you're Alex Bass, what are you thinking? How do you get into a team if a goalkeeper's making these mistakes?
I think you just got to take your opportunity when it comes. I think if you look at the Sutton game, which he did start for us, I think no one in that team covered themselves in glory. And I think when he does get his chance, he's just got to take it. I think patience is key. I think he's always been second string in his whole time at Pompey, apart from a spell under Kenny Jackett at the back end of the season before last. I think he'll get his chance, but I think this season is going to be so difficult to drop Bazunu. And I think Danny Cowley does have his favourites. If you look at other players who he's almost put an arm around, I think John Marcus is one, Ronan Curtis has been another. And if they're fully fit, they're going to start every game. And I think that's going to be the case for Gavin Bazunu as well.
It's a tough one for Alex Bass, Dean, because we all know he's a fantastic goalkeeper, great shot stopper. There are elements of his game of which we can all see but need to be improved upon. Maybe the distribution, the confidence coming for corners and crosses, etc. But a great goalkeeper at the age of 23 now.
Yeah, you
know, he needs first team football, and like Sam said there, when you've got Gavin Bazunu in your team, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, we need to get another goalkeeper, and that's what we need to do. Who's got we need a goalkeeper that's in his 30s that allows Alex to go out, have a season on loan in League Two or the National League, get a full season behind him, because Alex has got a lot of potential with him. There's a lot of big clubs out there who rate Alex Bass as well, and he could be a good goalkeeper for us. But as I said, Gavin Bazunu, he's our player of the season so far. And the only thing with me is I don't know why goalkeepers get different treatment to other players. John Marquis has had six or seven very less than average games in a row. He doesn't get dropped.
No.
So
it's a good point. Okay, let's hear now the pre-match thoughts of Blues boss Danny Cowley. He spoke to Ollie Marsh at the training ground yesterday afternoon, first highlighting the opportunity his side have to put wrongs to right when they travel to Accrington this weekend.
It's a great opportunity. We have huge respect for Accrington. John Coleman's just done a brilliant job there. They've got some really top players in this division. They've got a really clear identity and way of playing, and certainly you need a huge amount of resilience, determination and grit if you're going to be successful there, and they're the qualities that we will need to pack and we'll need to take up with us to Accrington.
Yeah, who have you identified as their key players, and how are you going to make sure you deal with them?
Yeah, I think their key strength is the unity. I think they've got a real togetherness and spirit. They have a really good way of playing where they're able to draw the press on and go over the press. They have Colby Bishop, who is a real handful as a target man you can play into and you can play up to. They have runners beyond him. They have real experience in their team. Keneally in the midfield is fantastic on seconds. McConville has real quality in the wide areas, and they have some real athleticism in and around that. So lots of good players, a great test for us, as I said, off the back of two disappointing results. Gives us a really good opportunity to respond in a positive way.
Yeah, as you say, you'll be looking for a reaction. Have you seen a reaction from the players on the training ground since you've come back in from that Ipswich game?
Yeah, we have, but listen, it's not for us to do too much talking now, and we have to do our talking on the pitch come 3 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, you've conceded four goals in the past two games. Do you maybe look at making changes to the game plan, or particularly to the defence, or do you stick with what you've gone with for the recent games?
Yeah, I think in both games we've been good in the game until we've conceded. So it's our response to disappointment, which is the thing and the area that we need to work on, and how we deal with disappointment. Listen, football, as in life, you're going to have disappointing moments. Things are going to go against you, and you know, it's never in the disappointment. That's not what defines you. What's defined you is how you respond. And we have to find a much better response than what we have. And let me tell you, if you're going to go to Accrington and it's not going to all be your own way, you're going to have to really fight. And we've got to show that quality. We've got to go and play on the front foot. We've got to go and play with the aggression. We've got to play with the intensity and the power, because I think when we play with those qualities, then it brings the technical side of our game out.
And of course, for how low everybody felt on Tuesday, I'm sure 3 points at the weekend would make everybody feel a lot better. Is that the incentive for you to get a happy feeling back again?
Absolutely. You know, for us, we want to try to find a way of winning. We've let ourselves down. We've let the supporters down. We know that. We all have to live with that pain. We've done it too many times this season. They're just facts. No one to blame. Ultimately, for me, it's always my responsibility as the manager to get the players to play at their best. And I haven't done that. And rightly, we're criticised. And we have to find the inner strength to find the solutions to the problems that we have, and then we have to go and make sure that we put those words into actions, and we have a great opportunity to do that on Saturday.
Danny Carley with his pre-match thoughts ahead of tomorrow's trip to Accrington Stanley, speaking to Ollie Marsh at the training ground yesterday afternoon. Sam, you know, we mentioned earlier in the show about how this is a reaction to Tuesday. Scrap that. Let's talk about Accrington themselves. We heard Connor Moseley with a little bit more of an insight into their team. And they're not a bad team, you know. John Coleman nearing 1,000 matches in charge of Accrington Stanley overall, which is, by the way, phenomenal. But you look at the side they've got, not the biggest budget in the league, probably half, if not less, than Pompey's budget in this division. Money doesn't guarantee anything, I get that. But they've got one thing that Pompey lack: team spirit.
Yeah, I touched on it earlier on. I think they want to play for John Coleman, and I think if they don't play for John Coleman, then they're going to get dropped. If you look at their star man last season, Dion Charles, I don't think he's had a kick this season because of kicked up a bit of a fuss in the summer. So he's sort of just been sat on the bench for the season. He's not been playing. So that shows you all you need to know about the mindset of John Coleman and what he expects from his players. I think they're going to be physical. It's going to be a tough game. It's probably going to be... No, it's always cold when we go to Accrington. So, if we're not up for it, then it's going to be a tough game. They got some really, really good players, as you said earlier on. Harry Powell has been excellent this season. Colby Bishop, he's always going to guarantee goals in this league as well. Mm. The back, I think they play with wing backs as well, and I think their back three is very, very, very solid. So we just have to be on it from the first whistle.
It is always cold at Accrington. It's never a good result at Accrington. No win there in the last four visits, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Dean, and off air. No win against Accrington Stanley in the last eight competitive meetings. They are 10th in the table. Pompey are 17th with only one win in nine.
It's a good job. It's a good job we don't work in the sales ticket office.
It is a good job we don't work in the ticket office, because we would not be selling this game at all well. But before we kind of do talk about team and the lineup, the possible lineup you'd like to see, Dean, just for one more time, commending the 900 fans with tickets tomorrow. It's an incredible journey, and with the form we're in at the moment.
That's what I mean. I think those supporters there, who are they going there for? They're going there as Portsmouth club supporters. They're going there for the badge. Are they going there to support that team? Are they going there to support the manager? I don't know. They are Pompey through and through. They're going there to support the badge, and that's incredible. It'd be a tough game. It'd be a bit of a boggy, wet pitch. We need the two things we need are fight and spirit. That's what we need big time tomorrow.
Got an email here again from Dave in Liss, who says, "Good evening, Jake and co. I think I questioned a few weeks ago whether we had the players to play with a back three effectively, with or without Robertson. Tuesday night's match not only confirmed that for me, but it also raised a real red flag as to our ability to avoid a relegation battle. Where is the mental strength in this squad? I think Sean Raggett has it, and possibly Joe Morrell too. Maybe Sean Tunnicliffe. Ryan Tunnicliffe, sorry. You did say Sean. They kept going right to the bitter end, albeit to no avail. But as for the rest, The difference in the quality of passing, movement, speed of thought, creativity and maybe even fitness was frighteningly disappointing. We were also taught a lesson in high pressing, something we are supposedly trying to master. A few random questions Dave ends with. When was the last time we lost 4-0 at home in the league? Probably a very long time ago. Overall, are the five loans adding any value to our squad, or are they just making up the numbers? I think we've already touched upon that so far in tonight's show. And on a lighter note, why did Ipswich need two team buses on Tuesday night? Probably Paul Cook's ego, probably taking up one of them. And will Ed Sheeran write a song about the match? Not sure, but he's got the influence on the front of a shirt, doesn't he, Ed Sheeran? Thank you to Dave Byrne and the emails there. Not too much longer to go, Sam. Just a final thought from you, very quickly. Tomorrow afternoon, changes have got to be made, but where?
It's a million-dollar question, isn't it, really? I think if it was me, I would be playing Connor Ogilvie at centre-half again. I think he's probably the most natural centre-half we've got, other than Sean Raggett, who's fully fit. I think I would probably like to see Williams move back into midfield. I'm glad I'm not the one making the decisions, because the only player I would probably start is probably Joe Morel, and everyone else, if I could, I'd drop them. But as I say, we've not got the squad depth to do that.
Joe Morel against Accrington Stanley, I think we can do that. 1v11.
Let's do it. He's got the work rate for it.
Yeah, let's do it. Dean, I haven't got long enough to ask you for your thoughts on the Sean Williams point that Sam just made there. I can see you shaking your head. I know you don't particularly agree with that, but I'm going to have to press you for a score prediction, Dean. What are you going for?
If we win, I know you like KFC, I'll buy you a big bucket of KFC if we get 3 points, because I can't see us getting anything at all.
Holding you to that. And Sam, what are you going for, mate?
I'm going to have to agree. I can't see us winning tomorrow.
Two KFCs for me then. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win. Dean Adams, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Cheers, Jake. Enjoyed it.
Thank you also to Sam Macy calling in from back home. Have a great weekend,
lads.
Thank
you, mate.
Wishing them both a safe journey home. Well, wishing Dean a safe journey home. Sam's already home. Okay, coming up next here on Express FM is Connor Mosley with Express Floor Fillers. I am back tomorrow afternoon with Ryan Stilwell. We make the gruelling journey up to the Wham Stadium. Pompey taking on Accrington Stanley. Match day number 14 of this League One season. Join us here from 2 o'clock on Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey took another battering on Tuesday night. Paul Cook's Ipswich put four past the home side. Coming up next for the Blues, a trip to Accrington Stanley. Join us for all of the unmissable action this Saturday from 2. It's Accrington versus Pompey, and we'll have all of the action right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aquacars.
It's going to be a good one. Of course it is. Pompey are going to get back to winning ways. I can feel it. I can feel it. Do join us tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. Myself and Ryan Stilwell have got you covered with all of the pre-match build-up, half-time analysis and post-game reaction as well, with commentary live from Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham from BBC Radio Solent in between too. Express Floor Fillers is up next here with Connor Mosley. You are the VIP to Portsmouth's biggest party on a Friday night, and then from 11 through to the early hours of tomorrow morning, it's DJ Turner James. He is back in the mix with more fantastic floor fillers to start your weekend off correctly. Saturday Breakfast with Ian McGuinness returns tomorrow from 8 o'clock. He's got news, weather, travel, sport, 4 from 40 from 1987, a random top 5, a movies update with John Brown, TV and radio picks, as well as great music as well to start your weekend. He's got pretty much everything on the show tomorrow morning between 8 and 11. Lily Park is back with your guilty pleasures, a tiny quiz about the week's news and more great music too between 11 and 2. And then, of course, it is the return of Pompey Live for the trip to Accrington Stanley. Can Pompey finally get that league victory they have been craving for so long? And will Dean Adams here be owing me a Kentucky Fried Chicken? I think yes. Do join us tomorrow afternoon from 2. But until then, have a great evening. Enjoy your weekend and stay safe, Pompey fans. Good night.